السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله, everybody's ready to go again, and we're going to keep talking about the prophets. There's so many prophets to talk about, so little bit of time, but Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us that he used to say astaghfirullah more than 70 times a day. And once he said more than 100 times a day. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. And that's a lot. And by the way, if prophets are saying astaghfirullah, asking Allah to forgive them, I'm sure we should too, huh? A lot. The more you say it, the better off you are. We've talked now about something really, I think, important about sins. And we understand that these sins have conditions. If I know something's wrong and I do it anyway, with no excuse, I'm in trouble. But I can be forgiven if I ask Allah to forgive me. Do I need to go and ask a prophet to forgive me? Huh? Do I need to go and ask a rock, a stick, a stone, or a bone to forgive me?
No.
So who am I going to ask to forgive me?
Allah.
And I can do it inside of my own heart, can't I?
Yes.
Nobody even has to know I said it, do they? I can just be like, astaghfirullah. And nobody will know, except
Allah.
And this is very, very important, because I'm talking to him directly from my heart, and he can hear my heart, not just the beating, boom, 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 boom. No, he hears what's in my mind, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. He knows all of it. In fact, he's the one who knows how I suffer or how I enjoy and why. And I don't even know all of that, but he does. So anytime I ask him, forgive me, he can forgive me that fast. That's good news, yeah? But I wouldn't know that if I didn't know about the prophets that I've been telling you about. That's why it's so important to know about these prophets and to know what they're teaching us with these lessons. Because it's not just stories. This is not just something that we want to say, okay, this prophet, and so, he lived here and he died there, had this many children, and then he ate some food, and who cares? I want to know, what did he teach me that I can use today? I want to know, what did I get from the stories of the prophets that when I put it in my life works better. Huh? Like when I put gasoline in the car, it's going to work better. I put oil in the car, it works better. Huh? Right? Yeah. So these are the things that we need to know. What's in the story to help me? Did you learn something today about sins? Yeah. And where they came from, how it started, what we do, why it's something is a sin when it's not a sin? I think we got some benefit from that. Inshallah, I hope so. But certainly I want to remember that all the sins of all the humans that are ever committed can all be forgiven by Allah, except one. One sin Allah will never, ever forgive. It's called shirk. Shirk. What is shirk?
Associating partners.
Exactly. Associating partners with Allah. Would you like to know about shirk? Yeah? Yeah? Yep. First of all, shirk is Arabic word. And it means that somebody is having a god with God. He's not taking Allah all by himself, but he's making something with it. We know from Islam, from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that this is the unforgivable sin, that nobody should do it. But is he the first person to tell us this? Is he? Huh? No. All the prophets taught us that. In fact, if we look, we find that that's the first commandment. The first commandment that came with all of the commandments that came to Moses was number one, don't make shirk. Don't do that. Because it says in the Old Testament that the first commandment was, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, and you know no other God beside me. Thou shalt not have any gods beside me. That's the first commandment. That's in Exodus chapter 20. I read it. What does that mean? Don't make shirk. Don't get an idol or an image or something alive or something dead and think that this thing can help you, because it can't help you. It won't help you. If you pray to it, in fact, it'll hurt you, because Allah will be angry. Can you understand why? I'm going to compare human beings to human beings. How? Think about a human being and another human being, people. I invite you to come to my house, and I say, come over, I'm going to fix food. Okay, you come over. And I put food out, and I put drinks out, and we have all this good stuff, huh? And you're eating and drinking, and you're going, whew, man, that was good. Whoa, that was good. And then you get up, and you go outside, and you go to my next-door neighbor, knock on the door, and he goes, hello? And you say, thank you for a lovely meal. Goodbye. He's going to say, what? Are you cuckoo? I didn't do anything. But how about the guy who fixed all the food? He's going to be pretty mad, isn't he? I fix you food. I give you something to drink, a nice place to stay. Why, you went to the neighbor and said thank you to him? Huh? Now that's human to human. How about Allah? Allah created us. He created us. He gave us life. He gave us air to breathe. He gave us food to eat, water to drink. He gave us a place. He gave us knowledge. He gave us a heart. He gave us feelings. He gave us so much. Who should we say thank you to?
Allah.
Allah, not the neighbor. Huh? Not a rock. Oh, thank you, Mr. Rock. Oh, that was so nice. What's that? That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? But people do it all the time, don't they? People have rocks, sticks, and things that they carry around. Oh, this is going to help me, and that's going to help me. None of it's going to help them. In fact, it will hurt them. The rock, I don't mean because I dropped it on my foot, but it will hurt you because you worshipped it instead of Allah. Allah said something in the Quran, which is the last revelation of the human being, about certain people that He's going to do what? He's going to be their best friend. Allah will be a best friend to certain people. Who are these people? These are the ones who will take Allah as their protector. They will go to Allah for whatever they need. And when they do that, then Allah, He is their God, He is their protector. But when they take something that's a false god for their protector, for their friend, then they're going to be in deep trouble. And the way Allah says it in the Quran is that He will take these people who take Him as the protector, He's going to make them what? He's going to make them in light. He's going to bring them out of darkness into light. That's beautiful. But what about the other ones? He's going to take them out of the light and into the darkness. Why? Because you take false gods and they're going to take you away from the light. And that's how I meant when I said that if somebody is worshiping this, it can hurt them, because this is nothing but a rock. But if you worship it, that action will make you go away from the light of Islam into the darkness of what called kufr. Now I want to tell you about something. The prophets all warned us about something called kufr. Kufr. Can you say kufr?
Kufr.
Kufr. Kufr?
Kufr.
A'udhu billah. Kufr is something really, really bad, but it comes from a word in Arabic which means to cover. In English we say cover. In Arabic you say kufr, to put something on top of something. Sometimes you shouldn't put something on top of something, and sometimes you should. But that's a cover, isn't it? And whoever covers something, then they have committed an act of kufr. Let me give you an example. They used to say that a farmer digs the ground, puts the seeds in the ground, and then he covers the ground over the seed, right? When he covers that over, he's doing kufr. He's covering it. And a farmer used to be called a kafir. A kafir because he covers the ground. But after Islam came, and we use this word now, for somebody who is a disbeliever is a kafir. Now, no farmer wants to be called a kafir anymore because it means also disbelief. Why? Because they cover the truth of Islam. The truth is there. You can cover it, but you can't make it go away. And how you cover it is by lying and saying it's not there anymore. But eventually it'll come up through there, won't it? And you'll know it's still there. Because lies go away, but the truth stays. That make sense?
Yes.
Well, think real slow with me on this. Lies don't stay, but the truth does. So even if you pour lies on top of something, try to cover it, cover it, cover it. Eventually, pew, truth pops up. You can't keep it down.
We're doing pretty well, but I feel certain areas need attention.
Firstly, no counting machines for more efficient operation. And the top brands available are Delarue, MCL, and Plus. Mm-hmm. We must shred our waste confidential documents. The most reliable paper shredders are of Rexel and Faceit. We're spending a lot of man hours preparing regular mails every month. PFE has the most efficient bulk mailing system.
That's very good. When can we have a list of all the suppliers?
We don't need a list, sir.
No list.
Just one name.
IED. Time saved is money saved.
The best time for a person who's fasting to make dua is while breaking his fasting. There is nothing that draws you closer to Allah better than obligatory acts. I want to fast every single day of the year. This is not acceptable. In Ramadan, there is Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. So one night is equivalent to 1,000 months, whatever you do in that night.
Ramadan Fiqh Issues, every Monday and Tuesday at 3 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 5:30 p.m. India on Peace TV.
A friendly message by Dr. Zakir. The most profitable business.
Would you like to know the business in which you earn the maximum profit? The secret is given in the glorious Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 261. The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed of grain, which grows 7 spikes. In each spike is 100 grains. And Allah multiplies His reward to whom He wills. If you spend your wealth in the way of Allah, you will get a return of 700 times. In business terminology, you will get a profit of 70,000%. Is there any business you know of in which you will get a better return? Invest today in the way of Allah.
Peace TV, the solution for humanity.
Allah said something in the Quran, which is the last revelation to the human being, about certain people that He's going to do what? He's going to be their best friend. Allah will be a best friend to certain people. Who are these people? These are the ones who will take Allah as their protector. They will go to Allah for whatever they need. And when they do that, then Allah, He is their God, He is their protector. But when they take something that's a false god for their protector, for their friend, then they're going to be in deep trouble. And the way Allah says it in the Quran is that He will take these people who take Him as the protector, He's going to make them what? He's going to make them in light. He's going to bring them out of darkness into light. That's beautiful. But what about the other ones? He's going to take them out of the light and into the darkness. Why? Because you take false gods and they're going to take you away from the light. And that's how I meant when I said that if somebody is worshiping this, it can hurt them, because this is nothing but a rock, but if you worship it, that action will make you go away from the light of Islam into the darkness of what called kufr. Now I want to tell you about something. The prophets all warned us about something called kufr. Kufr. Can you say kufr?
Kufr.
Kufr. Kufr?
Kufr.
kufr. A'udhu billah. Kufr is something really, really bad, but it comes from a word in Arabic which means to cover. In English we say cover. In Arabic you say kufr, to put something on top of something. Sometimes you shouldn't put something on top of something, and sometimes you should. But that's a cover, isn't it? And whoever covers something, then they have committed an act of kufr. Let me give you an example. They used to say that a farmer digs the ground, puts the seeds in the ground, and then he covers the ground over the seed, right? When he covers that over, he's doing kufr. He's covering it. And a farmer used to be called a kafir. A kafir because he covers the ground. But after Islam came, and we use this word now for somebody who is a disbeliever is a kafir, now no farmer wants to be called a kafir anymore because it means also disbelief. Why? Because they covered the truth of Islam. The truth is there. You can cover it, but you can't make it go away. And how you cover it is by lying and saying it's not there anymore. But eventually it'll come up through there, won't it? And you'll know it's still there. Because lies go away, but the truth stays. That make sense?
Yes.
Think real slow with me on this. Lies don't stay, but the truth does. So even if you pour lies on top of something, try to cover it, cover it, cover it. Eventually, phew, truth pops up. You can't keep it down. About lying. If a person lies to anybody, they have already told two lies. How? Before they lie to somebody, they have to lie to themselves to say it's okay to lie. And it's not okay to lie, is it? Lying puts black specks in your heart until it becomes totally black. And you should stay away from it. And this is all part of kufr, covering, lying, covering, lying. The best thing is to tell the truth. Tell the truth. Always tell the truth. And with that, remove all this covering and you see the light of the truth. What it says in the Quran, Allah tells us real clear, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجونه من الظلمات إلى النور وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Now, what this means, more or less, to the English is that Allah is telling us, whoever takes Allah as their protecting, guiding friend, then Allah, He's going to take them out of darkness. Darkness, and this can mean a lot. The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of making big mistakes, the darkness of sin, and guide them into what? Into the light. And this can mean the light of Islam, the light of understanding, the light of good. But then he continues, he said, as for those people who are kuffar, those people who cover the truth, that's why I was telling you that, as far as those people who take false gods as their awliya, rocks, sticks, stones, bones, made up stuff, stars, moon, sun, whatever they're praying to, whoever takes that as their awliya, as their protecting friend, then that is going to take them from the light into the darkness, deep darkness. And then it says, and they're going to stay in there forever. So this is the unforgivable sin in Islam. You cannot be forgiven for this. And it even tells us in the Quran, verily Allah does not forgive setting up partners with Him in worship, shirk. But anything less than that, He can forgive. Now, if a person was doing shirk, how could he get forgiven? The only way is to totally leave it, come to Islam, and declare that there's only one God to worship, and then never make that big mistake again. And if Allah accepts from them, they can be right along with the other good people. So it's important to know that coming into Islam is to get rid of all shirk. to stop worshiping the creation and to start worshiping the Creator. Because we have many things around us every day that attract our attention and our focus and our love. Maybe I'd like to have a new car. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like to have a nice car. But if I begin to worship that car, and it's not good. Money. Oh, I'd like to have some more money. Anybody would. But if you begin to worship the money by making it more important to you than Allah, then you made partners with it. So it's not just the rocks and sticks and stones. It's anything that is existing that you give your devotion to or your worship to. Does that make sense? So that was one of the main messages of all the prophets warning people not to do that. Don't make kufr and don't make shirk. Don't cover the truth and don't make partners with Allah in worship. That is a pretty big lesson for today, wasn't it? But there's always more things we can learn from the prophets. You know that all the prophets that came had things about them similar, but things also different. Now, we've talked a little bit about some of the earlier prophets. And one of the things that I love to talk about is the prophet Ibrahim. And the prophet Ibrahim, or Abraham, is mentioned so many times in the Old Testament of the Bible. He's mentioned in the New Testament. And he's mentioned throughout the Quran so much I couldn't even count how many times I found stories about Ibrahim. Did you know that he had children? Yeah. Ishmael and Ishaq. Yes, he did. And did you know they had children? In fact, Allah promised them many children, and they sure did have it. From Ishaq, we know many of the prophets came from him. And from Ishmael, we know prophets came, but the best one was the last one, which is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. When I think about all these prophets, and I think of the stories of Moses, many stories there too. One of the things that comes to my mind is the story of what happened with people of Moses' time, and how they made a big mistake by committing shirk. You know what happened? Well, after Moses had gone to Pharaoh, he took his brother with him, Harun, and they were telling Pharaoh about the God. Our God is the one who created everything. Please, you know, we're the people who worship him. Let us go. You know, don't make us the slaves here. And they kept day after day asking, and when they finally got away, they finally got through the water. Remember the story, the water opened up, they went through that, and at last, they should be in good shape, yeah? But then, Allah, he wanted Musa, alayhi salam, to go up into the mountain, and he did. Moses went up into the mountain. And when he got up there, he stayed a long time. Days and nights, and the people were like, "He's not coming back. He's not coming back. What are we going to do?" And some people said, "You know that the people where we used to be in Egypt, they used to worship a cow, a golden cow. So let's make a golden cow. Let's do that." And they did. They made up a golden cow. They took all the gold that they had, and they shaped it, and they molded it, and they made it into a calf, a golden calf, small cow, calf, right? And they said that the wind used to blow through it and make a noise like this. Oh. And they said, "Oh, it's talking to us." But in reality, it was just wind blowing through it. And they will go to it, "Oh, you know, we would like to have children. Can you give us a son?" "Only Allah can give you children." "Yeah? Why are you praying to this cow?" It was making everybody, you know, further and further from the truth. And they were going, praying, and offering their sacrifices, everything, to this silly statue that they made from gold. When Moses, peace be upon him, finally came back, he came down the mountain, he had the commandments with him. When he got down, he looked and he found all the people. "Look, they're worshiping this calf, this golden calf that they made. Ah!" And here is Moses was talking directly to Allah. And these people that's with him are worshiping something beside Allah. You think he got upset? Think he got angry? Yeah. What did he do? Do you know what he did? Well, first of all, he let them know that's the wrong thing to do, didn't he? Yeah. Story has it, he just dropped those tablets and went back up, had to go back up to Allah and have the commandments again, because it was that bad. He was upset that one thing that he did, he and his brother did, they destroyed that golden calf, destroyed it completely, because this is the wrong thing. That's the wrong message, to worship something other than Allah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu ya Allah.